Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's part-time Brendan behind the glass. A couple minutes late. Things are just falling off, right? The wheels are falling off. Probably going to start falling off a little bit more.
We were rather soon. We were running late in pre-show today.
Yeah. We were interrupted, but for the right reason.
That's right.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. Love trumps all, right?
Right.
Love trumps all. Anyways, the Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This Texans season has been a... What are some synonyms for this Texans season?
Cluster,
bleep. Terrible, bad. I'll be honest
bleep
with
show.
You. I thought about, yeah, I mean, all these things apply.
There's a lot of bleeps.
What words would you use to describe the Texans season? 713-780-3776.
I feel like I'm watching an episode of Thousand Pound Sisters.
I've never heard of that show.
I meant to tell you guys this. So my wife is...
Is that a combined weight, like tag team?
Yes. Yes, actually it is. My wife is now officially off, for the most part, the Real Housewives kick. She stumbled upon, I think it's on Bravo, but I'm not sure, I think it's called Thousand Pound Sisters.
You watch some weird stuff,
I'm not
man.
Watching it. She's watching it. But I'm sitting there, I'm in the living room, and she and Taylor are in the bedroom, and Maddie's upstairs playing. And I hear what sounds like Morse code going off in the bedroom. And I'm going, what is that noise? Is the microwave going off? Whatever. I walk in, they're both, I go, what are you watching? She goes, Thousand Pound Sisters or something like that. I go, what is that? And all of a sudden I look at the screen. I go, oh, good Lord. There is a woman that is literally about 600 pounds. And she has siblings that have all used to be that big that have subsequently had surgery to not be as big. But now their problem is they're trying to get her to where she can have the surgery. And it is a cuss fest the entire show trying to get this unruly, very large woman to like participate in family gatherings and stuff. And I was taken back by it. And I'm going, and you watch this? She goes, I can't turn it off.
Was your new resolution this year to just lose all of our listeners?
No, I think there's a lot of people that are either dialed into this or they know what I'm talking about.
I've never heard of it. Have you ever heard of it, Brendan?
I've not heard of it. I couldn't watch it. I'd be the opposite.
Is this the natural disasters with earthquake and typhoon? Like, what is going on?
It's close to a natural disaster.
I would flip away so quickly. Yeah. I couldn't watch that.
713-780-3776. Do you have any idea what Blankers is talking about?
It is close to a natural disaster if you watch it, because I won't watch it, but Lisa can't get enough of watching it.
That's something.
She can't turn it off.
That's something. I'll be like, as I try to segue off a Thousand Pound Sisters,
yeah.
Which never thought I would say that in my life.
Well, here's how you segue back. The question then becomes, would you rather watch Thousand Pound Sisters or the Texans have to play a football game on Sunday?
The Houston Texans.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would too, but I'm just saying it's an option. That's how you segue back.
I honestly feel like I have no choice but to watch the Houston Texans every single snap of
the
season.
We have to.
Yeah, I do feel like it's on my obligation.
But if you're just a common fan.
I would watch neither.
I would watch the highlights. I would watch like the Red Zone channel, and then I would get updates. But I just think this is one of those years where it's entirely possible that there's a lot of fans that can't watch this team.
Can I tell you how I've been watching the Texans lately, to be honest? Because I haven't been watching the Texans live. I've been watching Red Zone channel, like in the noon slate, because where the Texans play most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then on the NFL Plus, I'll go back and watch the condensed game, which takes 45 minutes. You don't miss a snap. Like, that's the way I've been watching
the
Texans.
That's essentially what
season.
I do, too. I'm
last half of the year.
The Red Zone, that's the big thing I was going to get to. I think there's always where hope springs eternal. Early in the season, and this year, of course, it was how was Davis Mills going to look and was he going to end up being the guy? Where early in the year, you wanted to see the draft picks, too. You're more engaged. But after watching this team for numerous Sundays play the way that they played, it just got more and more difficult to like struggle through an entire game to where I was recording it. I was watching the condensed version, and you can't stomach a full game anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I watched the full game, but not in its 3-hour entirety. I'm not going to miss out on the Red Zone channel. I'm going to go back and watch the condensed game. And I thought about this earlier this week, too. Like, I like Lovie Smith. I don't want Lovie Smith to be the head coach of the Texans next year. I don't dislike Pep Hamilton. I don't want Pep Hamilton on the staff next year. Like, I root that Davis Mills has a good career in the NFL. I don't want him to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. The 2022 Houston Texans were not going to be good. We've been telling you that all along. Yep. You can look at the roster, and you can have some people try to fool you into thinking, best case scenario, the Texans can win 7 games. Uh-uh. Like, that's just not realistic. How I've been viewing the team this year, like, I'm tired of banging on the 2022 Houston Texans. Like, I don't, like, this is who they were. Like, I don't want to bang on Lovie Smith. I don't want to bang on Pep Hamilton. Do I want him back? No. I don't want to bang on Davis Mills. Do I want him back? No. So that's kind of like how I've been viewing the Houston Texans in the 2022 season, especially the last couple weeks. Like, when was the last time we talked about a Houston Texan game? And I don't think people want to hear about what happened on 3rd and 7 when the Texans were down by 20 points against Jacksonville. If you do, let us know. 713-780-ESPN. If you do, you're probably listening to the Highway to Hell, if we're being completely honest. The only way you can talk about the Texans right now is big picture. That's the only way you can currently talk about the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you're right. And can I, a couple caveats. I was going to say, so you look at Pep Hamilton and Lovie Smith like you look at Dusty Baker. You like him managing the team, you just don't want him back.
No, I do want, I'm all in on Dusty, I trust him. Me and Dusty are on great terms.
That was my joke,
Dusty and I
turned the corner. But from the standpoint of Pep Hamilton is the one guy that I wouldn't say I wouldn't want him on the staff this year. It's just a job he wouldn't do. I think he's an above average quarterbacks coach. I think he can be a good quarterback coach for a young quarterback. So I don't want him to be the offensive coordinator, and I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that he would accept a demotion to go back to being quarterback's coach. But Pep Hamilton would be a good quarterback coach for a franchise-type quarterback coming out of college joining an NFL team. That's what I would say.
That's a good call.
Okay.
Like a young quarterback. Like, yeah, it'd be great. Right. It'd be great if he was not going to take a demotion with the
Texans.
That's
what I'm saying. But if you take one of these guys in the draft, Pep would be a great first quarterback coach for someone like that.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. That's a good role for Pep Hamilton. It's just not going to be in Houston. So the Chronicle put together this list. I should say the Houston Chronicle. I can't keep track of all the Chronicles that exist now. Like Houston Chronicles for the newspaper, but they have a website, Texas Nation. Then you have like Cron.com. Apparently they aren't the same thing anymore. I have both of them on my tabs, but I just can't keep track. It confuses me. But Houston Chronicle, and kind of interested that Del Robertson put this together. Del Robertson, the Houston sports wine guy.
Great afro.
What's that?
Great white man's afro.
He does have a good white man's afro. Yep. It is stunning. It is fantastic. If you've seen Del Robertson's afro, your life is better for it. But he put together this list of the worst seasons in Houston NFL history. So you go back to like the 70s with the Oilers and some really bad teams. You look at the Texans from like 05, 13, 22. I wasn't alive pre-85, so I can't speak to the 72, 73, 83 Oilers. The 94 Oilers that were 2-14. Then you have some 2-14 Texans teams in 05, in 13, and then now you currently have a 2-13-1 Houston Texan team right now as well. And look, I don't want to sit here and go like item by item, which is the worst Houston NFL team all the time. But where do you think this season ranks amongst the most pitiful, worst, depressing, sad, embarrassing, pathetic seasons in Houston NFL history? Is it on that short list? Does it belong?
Yeah, I think it kind of does. And I don't even think I kind of does. Yeah, it does. You know, I think the easiest comparisons, because it's funny, because when you think about like the Rocket stuff, as bad as the Rockets were, they were only like a 500 team. They never really fully engaged until recently into complete just bottom of the barrel suck. They always found a way to kind of stay kind of floating. But, you know, the last couple of years have been bad. But even then, I don't think it's been like hard, impossible to watch. I think the Astros 100 loss seasons for a lot of people were hard to watch. I remember the one year where people were more concerned with the Oklahoma City 89ers than they were because Springer was playing there and they wanted him called up, and they knew that the Astros were contemplating not calling him up so that they could keep team control.
There's a Mickey Mantle statue outside of that ballpark.
Yeah, I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah. And, yeah, I still could watch him. I liked seeing the development of some of the young guys and Altuve and some of those guys. I still watched them, But I can't watch this Texans team, so this Texans team has to be in that conversation.
I think that it's not an apples-to-apples comparison when you're looking at the cross sports. Because, look, even when the Astros are really good, the golden era of Houston Astro baseball, how many people are watching 162 games? So it's very easy to check out of a 162-game season when you're losing 100 of them. But football, you know, being very popular, being king in the state of Texas, you kind of feel that you have 17 opportunities, right? So you feel the need to watch a higher percentage of those 17 games than you do of 162 games of a bad team. So I think it's very difficult whenever you look at the Houston Texans season and you've had to sit through this all year. Look, a lot of people don't. I understand that. There's a lot of fair weather fans that are like, look, I'm not putting up with this. I'm not putting up with Kyle McNair's debacle. I'm not putting up with Jack Easterby that's been around for a while. And of course, we know that he was fired. The question that I want to ask you, though, is how hard has this season been on your fandom? As a Texans fan, how hard has this season been on you? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. MyBookie is the only place if you want to make the most uninteresting game more interesting and put some money down, because they take care of their customers every step of the way. MyBookie is the only place I tell you to go, because when you go to MyBookie, they are going to find ways where you can have free plays and ways where you can get in on marketing promotions that they got going on, where it doesn't cost you anything to get in, but once you get in and get started, if you win, you get to pocket what you win. It's a fantastic way of taking care of their customers every step of the way. I love what they do at MyBookie, and you always need to remember that the promo code we always use is BET975, because when you put that in the promo, it's also going to give you other options where you can get great new things. New year, new you. Give yourself a fresh start. MyBookie.ag. Whether you want to bet to earn and make the games more exciting, or bet just to kind of make something more interesting because you got nothing else to do, it's the BET975 deposit bonus of $50 or more to receive a cash bonus instantly to your MyBookie account. Using the bonus is simple. Bet your deposit amount just once, you're ready to cash out, and there's no strings attached. MyBookie.ag taking care of you yet again. It's MyBookie.ag. Put in the promo code BET975 and bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place to tell you to do it, MyBookie.ag.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
My partners had told me I should get my knee replaced. I was in my 40s, and I decided that I wouldn't do that.
That's orthopedic surgeon Dr. John Herzog, who found regenerative medicine years ago and became a believer.
It changed my life around. It improved me to a point where I was able to jog again.
That's when Dr. Herzog switched his focus from surgery to helping his patients with natural biologics.
I've treated at least 5,000 patients. I believe your body has everything it needs to heal itself.
Today, you'll find Dr. Herzog at QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in this exciting field of medicine that can give lasting pain relief with no downtime, no drugs, and no surgery.
I have patients coming up to me that I did 10 years ago saying, you know, doc, my elbow's still working great. I'm playing tennis 3 days a week.
Call QC Kinetics now to explore alternative ways to deal with your pain. It's a free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. 713-913-5285.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Be on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He says, is football king? I thought we decided baseball was king. We've decided football is king in the state of Texas, but Houston is an Astros town.
Twitch is king, I thought.
On Twitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Let's go out there now for Patrick. Patrick, how hard has this season been on your fandom?
This season been terrible. It's hard to even watch him. And I got another thing I want to say. I want to say, why is Nick Caserio getting so much of a pass when he's the one that went and got Davis Mills?
Whenever Nick Caserio was hired, Patrick, and plus he was a third rounder. I mean, third round quarterbacks usually don't work. When Nick Caserio was hired, how long were you giving Nick Caserio to be a playoff team?
Playoff team?
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
You gotta, there's got to be a timeline there, right? If you're going to assess Nick Caserio's job as a general manager, there are goals in place, right? And goals probably in the NFL are winning in bringing an organization that was going to the playoffs pretty routinely with Bill O'Brien to bring them back to playoff prominence. Whenever, like, and maybe you didn't think about that, and I don't blame you for that, but if you go back to when Nick Caserio was hired, what do you think the timeline should have been for Nick Caserio to have the Texans in playoff contention?
I'm looking at 3 years.
Okay.
All right. So we're not there yet, Patrick. And what if you got
an organization? Who comes from the Patriot organization that has done something other than when Brady was there?
No one. That's a great point.
Yeah, the Belichick tree is definitely not there. But I was going to say, when you get your starting running back in the fourth round, when you get the young guys that Caserio's drafted, when you're trying to do a complete rebuild, and you get guys in the first four rounds of the draft that look like they either going to pan out, or in the case of a Mechie, you know, you don't know what you have yet, but the guys that he took subsequently, and you can question the first round picks and, like, are they going to be all pro caliber? Are they going to be players right now? And it's too early to judge, but I think he's done some good things. He's also got a 6-year deal. So it's not easy to just say, hey, let's move on from a GM we gave this good money 6-year deal to less than 2.5 years into the process. I don't think you can do that.
We were giving red flags to Nick Caserio when he was trading 6-round picks for Ryan Finley and 5th-round picks for Anthony Miller and 7th-round picks for
guys you
a
cut
Green
a
Bay
day
corner
later.
That he cut before he ever even got to game week. And we were being criticized for giving those red flags. I know that's small peanuts. Like, why are you caring about that? Who cares about that as long as he gets the big things right? So we've been critical of Nick Caserio when people weren't being critical of Nick Caserio. When Nick Caserio hung the moon, we've been very critical of Nick Caserio. So to Patrick's point about getting a pass, we have not given Nick Caserio a pass. We weren't giving him a pass when people were giving him a pass. Now, we haven't jumped to the conclusion that some people have, that Nick Caserio should be on the hot seat, that Nick Caserio should be fired. Because, Patrick, look, I think that 3 years for being a playoff contention, I think that that's fine. I think that that's fair. I think those were reasonable goals when Nick Caserio got hired. Like Blanker said, he's not there yet. And he hasn't really had everything aligned for him to have immediate success. Patrick's point about Davis Mills in the third rounder, quite frankly, I don't think Davis Mills is an NFL starter. But if you draft the dude in the third round that can start NFL games at the quarterback position, that's kind of a win, to be honest with you.
Think about the new short-term quick fix in the NFL. Russell Wilson was one of the guys that did it. Take a guy outside of the first round, don't have to pay him mega money for an extended amount of time. And during that extended of time, if he turns into be your starter in year one, which is a huge win, but in the first 2 years, and you've got 3 legitimate years or more of a guy at that salary playing quarterback for you, and you could use that money across the rest of your roster, you could be really good really quick, and it's worked out for some teams.
Yeah, he didn't have a first. Look, and King of Twitch is saying I'm making excuses for Caserio. How can the Texans be better? Like, they didn't have a first or a second round draft pick. You can nitpick the Sauce versus Stingley thing. I'm not going. Sauce had a better rookie year, no doubt about it. Stingley had some handicaps that were put in place, some governors, because he was playing in a cover two. Now, he got hurt, and the biggest reason that you didn't want Stingley was because of his injury concerns, and that came to fruition. Drafting a guard at 15 is kind of weird. So I get the critiques of Caserio. But this team is better right now, talent-wise, than it was a year ago.
Agreed.
This team is moving in the right direction. You could say, well, they could have done anything in the first, their first last year in the draft when they had two first-round draft picks. They could have done anything and had a better roster. Yeah, that's probably true. But Nick Caserio was not hired that in year two he has the Texans winning 7 or 8 games. Nick Caserio was hired so in year 3, year 4, year 5 of this rebuild, the Houston Texans can have sustained success. This wasn't a get-good, fast position for Nick Caserio.
No, it really wasn't. And the thing is, again, you use the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. We are quick to have called out every one of the shortcomings of Nick Caserio. We know that the entire coaching hiring process that he has done, whether it was fully him or he had help,
yeah,
it was a travesty and a joke over the last two coaching cycles.
And maybe I'm not giving enough like value and weight to Caserio when it comes to that, because admittedly I'm not. I give him a pass on Cully being a bridge, and I say that Lovie Smith was a Kyle McNair hire.
Right, but whether you say that or you just pull out, if you put it all on his shoulders, and I've said multiple times, look, it's going to be on his shoulders whether it was him or not. The majority of the blame and the fingers that are pointed at him.
I don't think so, actually.
I think they are.
Because if you're firing Lovie Smith at the end of this season, based on what you just said, Nick Caserio should be fired. But I don't think Cal McNair is going to do that because he knows Caserio didn't have a hand
in
Lovie Smith.
The caveat is, if this had nothing to do with Brian Flores and the lawsuit and how everything changed well down the road of the process, he would have basically dug his own grave.
Yep.
But because he had the caveat of the Brian Flores lawsuit, it changed everything, which is why he gets another pass that, you're right, deservedly he doesn't deserve to get.
Yeah, he's getting third coach.
Right,
he's
exactly.
He's going to get a third coach.
And that's unheard of. But also because he had a 6-year deal, ownership across professional sports hates giving away free money for extended years and letting guys walk and having to pay two guys for the job of one. And if you had to fire him this early into a 6-year deal, hire someone else, it'd be very painful no matter what Cal McNair, you know, knows or doesn't know or gets involved with within the franchise. But I think that we are always, again, I always go to my whiteboard. We do the positives and the negatives. We tell you where he's succeeded. We told you where he's failed. We told you about the lesser picks or the lesser trades that he's made that has failed miserably. We told you about the failures, what he's done with this in terms of the coaching searches. But we told you what he did in terms of the good things in some of the guys that he's found in his first draft and a half, because he didn't have high draft picks in his first draft. He's done some good things. I think he, and you and I kind of differ on this, but I think he manipulated and maneuvered through the Deshaun Watson trade as good as you could possibly have done. So I think that all those things being said, you also factor in he's only 2 years into the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that it's fair after 2 years to say that there's been negatives that are so glaring that he doesn't deserve to keep his job for at least one more. I could see if he does this same thing, you know, another year down the line where we have a really legitimate conversation about firing Nick Caserio. But after what's happened and transpired all around and within that organization in the last 2 years, I don't think he's the guy that should be fired.
Here's a weird comparison. I want Cal McNair to do with Nick Caserio what he did to Bill O'Brien. Cal McNair gave Bill O'Brien the rope. Bill O'Brien was like, oh, he's firing everybody. Can't get along with anybody. So Cal McNair said, okay, Bill O'Brien, you run the team. And he ran the team into the ground, got fired 4 games into a season in which he just went to the playoffs and almost upset Kansas City and almost had the Houston Texans hosting an AFC championship game. The most important thing that I want this offseason isn't necessarily even like who the head coach is, who the Texans, what they do at number one, because they might not pick at number one. What I want Cal McNair to do is hand Nick Caserio the rope. He says, here are the reins to our organization. Everything is now on you. David Culley, bridge coach, okay. Maybe we can believe that. The Easterby effect, maybe we can believe that. Maybe Lovie Smith was a Cal McNair hire. I believe that it was. Eliminate all doubt. Eliminate all doubt. This is Nick Caserio from this point going forward. He has the reins to the operation.
That's the thing.
And then if he fails, okay, well, then you have your answer.
Because you now take away the unseen and seen variables that he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
He inherited Jack Easterby.
Don't say inherited. Lamont doesn't like you saying inherited.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, but I'm going to say what I think. And I think that he inherited Jack Easterby. He didn't hire him. He had worked with him in the past, but he also kind of felt like he then owed him one because we know that he was the guy driving the bus, or in this case, the plane, to go get him and bring him back when he wasn't on the list from Corn Ferry. And so he had the Easterby. You had the Brian Flores situation. You had the unthinkable Deshaun Watson debacle, which is not common practice across the NFL and a general manager taking a new job. So he had so many uncharted waters to try and navigate through. And a lot of it was not his own doing, self-induced. So that, again, is why he gets a little bit more of a pass and has to get at least halfway through this contract before you put it all on him. you can easily, unlike that situation, you can easily start pointing fingers and showing the shortcomings of the coaching staff and the people that were put in place to do the things that they were supposed to do. And obviously, in the player's perspective, a guy like Davis Mills, who fully thought that he should be the starting quarterback and thought he'd be good at it, and a lot of other people did too, played his way out of everybody's thought process of he was going to be the future of the, of this team at quarterback. So there's ways you could point fingers for the short term for right now, what we've seen in this debacle over this year. I don't think of all the people in the crosshairs, Nick Caserio is one of them for this cycle. Next year, fair conversation.
713-780-ESPN. How hard has this season been on your Texan fandom? 713-780-3776. And I guess air your grievances about Nick Caserio. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 at ESPN 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-803-2142. 800-803-2142. 800-803-2142. That's 800-803-2142.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought about space in my cramped apartment, but in this house, all I see is empty space. The sofa and ottoman look like tiny islands in a sea of hardwood floors. I could get two ottomans in the living room, but then I'd need another sofa. I could tell people I'm into minimalism.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
By now, you know that sound. It's the sound of the Home Depot. But what about that sound? You're listening to a set of GE appliances, complete with all you need to keep food fresh, dishes clean, and everything else stress-free. Making this the sound of savings on top brand appliances. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Get up to 25% off select GE appliances right now. Offer valid January 5th through January 25th, 2023. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Jeremy Branham here with Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85. And Ricky, always very excited to see what's new with Gentle Bend Spirits. And are there any special promotions coming up in the marketplace?
There is. We are going to be doing an end cap promo with Total Wine. So when you go into Total Wine, look for the Gentle Bend Special Release Cask Strength Bourbon. Usually lands in around 117 proof. And we'll be also featuring the Gentle Bend 94 proof with the 117 proof cask strength.
I love it all when it comes to Gentle Bend, the vodka, the gin, love the bourbon as well. Can't wait to try the cask strength bourbon. But when you're making your bourbon, double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, you set the bar very high when it comes to your product.
When you try it, you will realize exactly why it is that we were the recipient of the Double Platinum Award this year at the Ascots.
Sit back with your company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Bend.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are asking you how hard has this season been for your Texans fandom, but all of you guys want to blast Nick Caserio. So, hey, we just deliver what you want to talk about. 713-780-ESPN, our HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there for Troy. Troy, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Troy?
Troy.
Where you at, Troy?
Troy.
Yeah, you gotta start over.
Troy, hey guys, because we missed it.
Let's do this again. Let's try again. Troy, three in the high with the Killer Bees.
Go.
Well, as a fan, my most disappointing thing, because I really thought he was going to be our franchise quarterback moving forward. For me, the most disappointing thing is finding out he's not going to be where Nick could have then took for sure his franchise quarterback and all these accumulated picks, build around him and your rebuild goes much faster.
Troy,
me,
who's he taking?
Going and drafting a quarterback this year, you're starting over. This is 2000.
Troy, do we lose Troy? Troy, you're breaking up a little bit, but I'm going to ask you this question. Hopefully by the time I end up asking you this question that your phone line's all right. Where was Nick Caserio supposed to pick up his franchise quarterback prior to this season?
Sir?
All right, your phone line's too bad, Troy. Maybe you can text it in. 713-780-3776. Or if you're out there and you want to answer for Troy, because I've heard that. Well, he should have had his franchise quarterback. Where?
Exactly.
Were you drafting Malik Willis? Were you drafting Kenny Pickett? Like, where are you getting that franchise quarterback?
Trading?
Mond?
Are you going to take a flyer on Matt Ryan?
Where are you getting it?
I don't understand where it's coming from either. Because,
unless it's
again,
Case Keenum.
We said it was the most unfortunate set of circumstances in a perfect storm of negativity for the Texans to have the number one overall pick, but have it in a year in which, or not the number one overall pick, but a top three type pick when you didn't have any quarterbacks worthy of taking in the top three. And so, where else are you going to find a quarterback? You don't want a veteran retread with has a couple years left on his tires. You don't want Carson Wentz. You don't want those type of guys with the roster that you don't have that you're trying to build with a youth movement. I don't understand where you're going to find the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know how that exists. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. RJ said, it wasn't that bad on me this Texan season. When they didn't fire Butchin after the Kansas City game, my fandom took a nosedive. They just haven't done enough for me to actually care these days. I think RJ speaks for a good percentage of the city of Houston, where like the investment to the Texans really is like in a state of apathy, right? Like you don't really care a whole lot. Like once they start winning, you're probably going to get back in. Now you're slowly going to get back in because they've burned you enough times that it's going to take a lot before you fully dive in. But I think a lot of fans currently feel that way about the Texans. And honestly, I think they felt that way about the Astros when they were losing 100 games in a row for 3 years or 100 games a season for 3 years in a row.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. It's just, to me, it's perplexing when you think about the overall fan opinion of certain teams. I don't know if you drink enough Kool-Aid to where you give certain passes that maybe they're not deserved, but then you want someone's head on a platter when I don't feel or you don't feel it's deserved. It's curious to me because, look, there was plenty of blood to be splattered all over the place on the Astros, but I don't think it was ever directed highly at management.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, get the young as much young talent as you can, develop it. We know there's no choice but to be patient. With the Texans, it seems like it's the exact opposite. You want it to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You want everything to be solved in the first go-round, and you don't realize when we say cyclical in terms of when you go through NFL ups and downs that the ups are great, but you realize at a certain point you're coming down. And for most teams, when you come down, it's going to take a significant amount of time before you get back up again.
The Texans really haven't even been that long without making the playoffs. Like, this is only going to be the third season that the Texans have not made the playoffs. Now, the fall from grace, from where you were at, you know, going to the playoffs back-to-back years, 4 or 5, winning division titles, and then boom, 4 wins. And then the way you got there is part of the story as well. But like, the Texans haven't lived in NFL poverty for that long. And look, we have disagreements, I guess, on the confidence level of Nick Caserio being able to figure it out. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there for Javon. Javon, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show.
Thank you.
I got to disagree. I've never agreed with the thought that the Texans were forced into hiring Lovie Smith because of the Brian Flores lawsuit. I've never bought into that. I don't see how there's a connection there. And let's just say, hypothetically, they were forced to hire a black coach. Well, you had Byron Leftwich out there. You had Eric Bieniemy. You had a lot more qualified guys that are going to Lovie Smith. And during that whole coaching search, I don't even think they ever brought in, like, Brian Daboll or some of the other top guys that were even available. They kind of ran a poor show doing that. And, you know, let's not forget, like, he's done some other terrible things, Nick Caserio. He traded a 6th-round pick for Ryan Finley, then he cut Ryan Finley. Like, that makes no sense. And his 2 drafts, he's only drafted 2 impact players to me. And he didn't get a franchise quarterback, but he could have got a franchise cornerback in Sauce Gardner, but instead he took Derek Stingley. Love the show, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Javon. And look, those are all very good points. Those are points that we've talked about. They're the points that we bring up when we criticize Nick Caserio. Because I think we've criticized Nick Caserio fairly.
Yep.
We're not calling for Nick Caserio's job 2 years into a six-year contract when the goal was probably get the Texans back into playoff contention by, I would say, more like year four than year three. I don't know how patient Cal Manier is going to be, but I don't think that Cal is going to be impatient with Nick Caserio. Now, when it comes to, like, the franchise quarterback part of it, you haven't had a chance to do that. And then what Javon said about, too, about he didn't feel like Lovie Smith was a Cal McNair hire. If you go back and you look at the finalists and guys that interviewed for this job, Lovie Smith never interviewed for the job this past year. Right. They were down to Brian Flores, Josh McCown, and I think it was O'Gannon, or Jonathan Gannon. And then Kevin O'Connell was like on the list, but he was going to Minnesota, was not a finalist like the other three. You don't have dudes that you interview, your initial list of coaches. You don't have your finalists from that initial list. None of them are Lovie Smith. You've never interviewed Lovie Smith. And then all of a sudden at the last hour, you hire Lovie Smith. There's no way that Lovie Smith was on Nick Caserio's radar to be the head coach of the Texans. That's point one. Point two is, look at the way Nick Caserio handled the draft. Nick Caserio is not drafting Derek Stingley Jr. at number three because he's aligned with Lovie Smith. There's no way the Texans draft a corner in the first round if Lovie Smith's going to be the head coach of the team and sit back in a cover two. That is a huge example for two reasons.
Lovie
One,
told you that
he didn't want Lovie. Lovie told us that on Barstool in like week three. So that's an example that, one, Caserio never wanted Lovie Smith, and then two, he doesn't view Lovie Smith as the long-term head coach of the Texans.
No, Lovie Smith was the short-term in-house fix to get them out of what was just a hornet's nest around the entire league that was definitely hovering around teams that still had coaching vacancies. And so that got them kind of out of the crosshairs in that regard and got them kind of free and clear. That's the only reason why they went with the direction that they did based on the candidates that they had. That's absolutely a fact, and if you don't believe that, then I don't know what to tell you. But overall, when you look at the big picture with a Nick Caserio and you analyze it as opposed, I mean, and compare it with some of these people that think he should already be gone, I just don't think it's realistic to think that even if this team was, say, a 500 team in the NFL, in 2 years' time, you're going to turn that team into a playoff contender or a playoff team. It's possible, but it's not probable. But when you take the roster that this team had, and by the way, you weren't starting from ground zero. You had a hole dug for you that you were dinging out of with bad contract after bad contract, with the picks that were given away, the trades that were made. Your cupboard was so freaking bare with cockroaches running around in it. You had to exterminate and start over after you got to the point where you could actually put food in the cupboard again, and they're still not close to building up the reserve.
That's the other part of it, too. Like Todd the Show asked earlier on our Twitch, how is Caserio done with free agents? There's one thing that you have to look at is what's the financial situation of the Houston Texans whenever he took over as the general manager of the Houston Texans. It was dire. It was bad. You can thank Bill O'Brien for that. So Caserio had no money to work with, and I would argue he's done a pretty good job in free agency. Now, it doesn't really show because the Texans won four games last year. They've won two games this year. But if you go look at the list of players that he's brought in here that I think are impact players in the NFL, Malik Collins is pretty darn good. Steven Nelson's pretty darn good. Jerry Hughes, people were mocking that when they signed him as a dude in his 30s.
A homecoming.
It's washed
like,
up.
Solid.
Been pretty good. The Oboe dude from L.A., from the Rams, he's been pretty good. So, like, Nick Caserio's actually brought in some pretty good free agents with very little to work with. In fact, his free agency's probably better than his draft outside of Damian Pierce.
The easy free shot is the whole Rex Burkhead card. But overall, when you think about it, once the financial aspect has to be considered, right? Because the means that you have and the willingness to spend when you don't have a roster worth spending has to be factored in too. So you got to give him credit for being able to pad the brakes, even if he wanted to go all out, until there was the right time. But when the time was right from last year to this year to get in a little bit better class of free agent, not necessarily a wow, sexy move with a big contract for a long term.
Couldn't afford it.
You couldn't afford it yet, and also it wasn't the right time still. But what you did get was players that could be an impact. They could be starters from day one. They could add a veteran stability in the locker room and in the huddle. And the Stevie Nelson pick to me and the Jerry Hughes pick to me, and I questioned Hughes a little bit as well, but the way they've played and the way they fit in and the things that they've been able to do, I think that he's done just fine with those kind of pickups.
Considering the resources, like those type of pickups are the ones that are really good when you have a winning team.
Yep.
And the reason that it doesn't seem better is because the Texans Texans are a losing team. But if the Texans were, you know, a year or two down the road and they're winning 9 games, 10 games, and they're a playoff contender, and you're adding those type of free agents at very, very low cost, we would be talking about, whoa, look at Nick Caserio with all these fines. But whenever you have nothing in the cupboard, like you mentioned, it makes it difficult. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Let's go back out there for Renee. Renee, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Renee?
Hey, hi, I'm in El Paso. I just want to say I love your show. Got a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I try to listen when I can. And I heard earlier a question about, I know we're talking about Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith, about how it affected the fandom and all that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, I've been a fan since pretty much way back since the Oilers, and then when the franchise here with the Texans started. And, you know, I haven't worn a single garment from the Texans or any sort of, you know, I have a lot of merchandise, apparel, stuff like that. Not one, because... You know, there's nothing to root for, you know, like we're talking about, you know, we've hit the bottom, you know.
Sure.
And as far as Nick Caserio, you know, I also agree with what you all were saying about the situation. It was a hornet's nest and all that. You know, I don't think it's Nick Caserio. And then about as far as the number one or the number two pick, whatever we're going to get in the upcoming draft, you know, I think you're right. And I think we need to start off with a new head coach, you know, someone that's going to set the pace. And everything with, yep. a new player, and then just last, I forgot.
That's all right, Renee. You gave us plenty of points.
You gave us a lot.
Yeah, gave us plenty of stuff. Thanks for the call, Renee. Thanks for listening all the way from El Paso. You know, the merch is interesting because I think that there is still a lot of loyalty to, like, the Oilers versus the Texans. Although, please don't bring back Love You Blue to the Houston Texans. I don't want it to tarnish it. The other, like, what he talked about, like, with the draft, too, which isn't something that we've talked about, the future drafts, part of his building of this Houston Texans includes this year's draft and next year's draft.
Right.
Because one of the players that he had whenever he took over the job and accepted the job with the Houston Texans was Deshaun Watson.
The most valuable player on his roster.
And he thought he was going to be his franchise quarterback. Of course, he demanded a trade, and all the sexual misconduct stuff came out. We figured out Deshaun Watson was a dirty pervert. He got 2 first-round draft picks this year. He's got 2 first-round draft picks next year. I think Nick Caserio deserves to see that through. I really do.
I totally do, too. And again, when we talk about the limitations, when I said that the cupboard was so bare that you weren't even starting from scratch, it was also the fact that you hire a general manager who comes in, who part of what you really want to do as a general manager is dig right into the draft and start drafting young players that are going to help. And in his first draft, when he's hired, he comes in already behind the eight ball, knowing he doesn't have a pick till the 3rd round of the draft.
Yeah.
So that's not an easy proposition for anyone, but you actually almost give him even more of a pass because he didn't get a first full draft in his first full year on the job, and he had to wait through the mistakes and the missteps of the guy before him to try and dig out of that before he could actually show what he could do as a general manager. So that's why I think it's too soon. I think it's a realistic conversation a year from now if it continues to go the same way and or if they take a step backwards. But I've seen at least enough light and positivity in some of the things that he's done that I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, like you said, to get through this draft this year and see what he can do with the extra picks that he got from the Watson deal and to continue to add starting caliber talent like he did a year ago.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. How hard has this season been on your fandom? Or if you want to bash Caserio, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
People don't understand how I do what I do. It's simple. I've got 50 guys in a room bidding all these cars that come in to GiveMeTheVIN.com. We pay extra for the nice ones, and we put the bad ones on the money. There is a difference between a good one and a bad one, but they're all worth something. Look at the reviews online. Look at what people have had to say about GiveMeTheVIN.com. It's real. It's here. We're the Amazon now of car buyers, and we want to buy yours.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Proton Coupes, they're remarkable. They're the best. Isn't that what you want for your kids? John Granato here, and I know because my kids had a ProDunk Hoops goal. They're built to last with tempered glass backboards, thick steel poles, and a breakaway rim for dunking. Yes, dunking, because they're adjustable anywhere from 10 to 5 feet. Plus, they'll install your goal. Trust me, let the pros handle this part. You can't do it. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. The best goal by far. ProDunkHoops.com.
Lance Zierlein here. There's talented players and players that work hard to be the best, but when you combine talent and hard work, you got a champion. And that's how I describe Daspit Law Firm. Champions. They have a superior team of Texas attorneys that simply will not be outworked, and that's to the benefit of their clients that have suffered injuries in an accident that was not their fault. If you've been in an accident and want some free advice, call Daspit Law at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. You can also get more information at DaspitLaw.com.
Waymore Silencers, the only one-stop Class 3 NFA dealer with the largest selection in all of Houston, says get them now before the laws change. We have no idea what the future holds in terms of gun legislation. All Waymore Silencers knows is no matter what, getting your new silencer now before the laws change is a smart idea. Right now, Waymore Silencers has a huge selection of suppressors by all the major brands you love, like Thunderbeast, Dead Air, Silencer Co., and AAC, just to name a few. Don't forget, Waymore Silencers has one of the only in-house fingerprinting and photo services in town for your Form 1s. Best of all, Waymore Silencers eliminates all the hassle by filing the all-new NFAE forms for you. They're located at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Waymore Silencers, your one-stop shop for the right to remain silent.
Lance Dirtline here. It used to take you 15 hours, sometimes more, to get a homeowner's insurance quote. How about 15 seconds? That's all it takes with a brand new system from TGS Insurance. Get a firm quote in 15 seconds when you text MONEY to 232323. That's MONEY to 232323. Stop giving your money away with your homeowner's insurance and save today by going with A-rated insurance companies for much, much less. Go to TGSinsurance.com for more information. And more importantly, take out your phone right now and text MONEY to 232323.
Take a ride home with a Wheelhouse.
I wrestled a tree.
Who won?
The tree?
You couldn't even move it, could you?
It was not a big tree, so that was part of the reason I think I tried to give it a go.
Was this a bet?
No.
You were just talking trash to the tree, or was the tree talking trash to you?
I think the tree was talking trash to inebriated Cody.
Catch Jake Asman, Cody Stutes, and Brad Kellner weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. How hard has this season been for your fandom as a Houston Texan fan? Some people are wanting to crush Casario. Let's see where we go at the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out there for Justin. Justin, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, guys? Honestly, I don't think this season's been that bad on my fandom. I think early on, I wanted to see some good progression, but realistically, I started rooting for them to lose pretty quick. I think the first time where it started to suck is when they beat the Titans recently. So now we're debating whether or not we're even going to take a stab at a quarterback. But as far as Casario, you know, he was dealt a crummy deck to begin with. And then what really good coach are you thinking of that actually would have wanted to come here until this year, right? This is the first year where we have two top picks, right? Two early picks. We've got a lot of capital, and we've got some rookies that are showing some progression. Like, there was no good coach that we were targeting that wanted to be here. Daboll, he got a better job, right? The guy who went to the Vikings got a better job. I think that this is actually the first scenario where Casario can make a good hire, and it actually worked out. So, you know, this year, sure, it sucked, but whatever, right? Let's go get the quarterback and move on.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. I don't even think we've talked about where we're at, like in our fandom is the Texans. It sounds like Justin's a killer bee and embraces the suck, didn't want the Texans to beat the Titans, which is really smart. What he brought up about the coaching points, I also echo and think it's accurate. In fact, in hindsight being 2020, and perhaps this is a sign that Casario like kind of gave into public pressure, or maybe he gave into Cal McNair giving into public pressure, is when they moved on from David Culley. Because moving on from David Culley wasn't, in my mind, part of the plan.
It was.
You're not firing him after 1 year. Like, he was supposed to be the bridge, probably two seasons. Then you go out and you hire your real head coach, that would be right now.
I think they expected 2 year minimum.
Yeah.
I think you and I kind of set that kind of framework when he was hired, that hey, this is a guy you're not expecting gangbusters from. This is why you went with a guy with no head coaching experience, but you thought 2 year minimum. And we even said 2 year minimum, but if he shows signs of developing with the roster as it gets better, you would consider at least another year with him.
Right. And I think in hindsight, that if you held them, you know, to gun to their head, true serum, whatever you want to call it, that they would tell you that they wish they would have kept David Culley for another year. They got to the point last year where they felt like they couldn't, that people couldn't take them seriously if they had David Culley as the head coach, which I can understand that logic. And look, I didn't think that he should have been back either at the time. And this is a little bit of revisionist history, hindsight 2020. But if you kept them a second year, moving on from your head coach is a piece of cake, no problem. No one bats an eye if you fired David Culley after year two. But if you fire Lovie Smith, everybody bats an eye. Everybody's going to crush you from around the league for firing two black coaches in back-to-back years after 1 year on the job.
But let me revise the first part of it to say, in my opinion, it wouldn't be Culley. If they could do it all again, they would prefer the coach that they hired to be there for a minimum of 2 years, no matter what. I don't think they realized as much as we all did that Culley was overmatched. But he was the wrong guy for the job.
Yeah.
But that's where the missteps happened.
Lovie would have been better than Culley.
Yeah, if you would have taken Lovie right from the jump, Lovie would have gotten 2 years for you. He would have done exactly what you wanted him to do. He would have bridged the gap. He would have got you going in the right direction. Because you went so far off of the possibilities and the checklists of a guy to be that bridge coach, you got something that was... It was an unknown variable to you, but it was something that we could all see might not work out. We didn't expect it to not work out this quickly, but boy, it didn't take long for us to figure out that was the wrong guy for the wrong job real quick.
And that's why they fired him after year one when they didn't want
you
to. They wanted
to
be
no
as a bridge. But
yeah.
The goal of hiring Culley wasn't that he was going to out-scheme, out-coach anybody. The goal of hiring Culley was that he was going to be positive in this rebuild, the first couple years of a rebuild. But after year one, everybody, they're sitting there talking about Culley and assessing Culley, kind of like everybody says they're going to assess Lovie Smith at the end of the year. Well, no kidding. That's what they do. They assess coaches at the end of the year, Ian Rappaport. But they said no one could take us seriously if David Culley's still our head coach. Which I can understand that. I can understand that logic. If they would have hired Lovie Smith instead of David Culley the first year of Nick Caserio, it makes it much easier to move on from Lovie Smith after year two as opposed to year one. What Justin said, though, about the quality of the coach, while I agree with most of that, with where the Houston Texans are going this offseason, if they do move on from Lovie Smith, there should be a better candidate list than was, you know, than there was last year, than there was when they hired David Culley. Let's not bat an eye or let's not ignore the fact that there were some pretty good coaches on that list. Like, I know O'Connell ended up getting the Minnesota job, so you probably were out on O'Connell. Jonathan Gannon was on that list. I think Jonathan Gannon was my number one choice. I can't remember if I had Gannon or O'Connell one or two. I had Gannon, O'Connell one or two. I can't remember which one was one. And then I had McCown number three. So, look, Jonathan Gannon would have been fine, right? So, like, there were some decent coaches on that list. Now, I agree with Justin that there should be better coaches on this year's list because you do have the attraction of now you're in the I'm going to call it the second year of a rebuild because I felt like this year was the first year of the rebuild. I'm not going to call last year with Culley a rebuild because you didn't have any young players. So next year is the second year of a rebuild. You have the number one pick. A lot of people think it's going to be franchise quarterback. And then currently you have the number 12 pick of the first round. So this job going into this offseason next year and then the 3 to 4 years after that, far more attractive whenever you look at the coaching carousel coming up.
Yeah, no doubt, because you know what? Sometimes you don't get a second chance to make that impression that you're a quality head football coach. So you have to be pickier. And we saw guys like Eberflus turn down the opportunity to even interview for the Texans job because he knew what a disaster it was in waiting. And he knew how many years it was going to take to dig out of the Bill O'Brien mess and get back to respectability. And I think that some coaches, like a Culley, saw this as a, you know, hey, I've never been a head coach before. My clock is running out. I got a chance here. I'm taking this. I don't care what
the
variables
money.
Are. Yeah, and I'm getting my guaranteed last contract to take me through into retirement. So it was a tough sell then. It's an easier sell now, and it's more enticing too because of the fact that especially if you get your hands into the cookie jar and get to have a say so if the hiring process is done in short short time after the season's over. You get involved in the draft. If you're an offensive-minded coach, you say, hey, it's not just about drafting a quarterback. It's about getting me the weapons I need around. We know that Brandon Cooks used to be a really good receiver in this league. We don't know what he's anymore, but we know that with a roster that's going to be all 25 and under for the most part, he's probably not in our long-term plans. Get me a number one. Get me, you know, a tight end. Get me some guys so that when I want to run the system I want to run, we talked about this all season long. You can't run a system if the guys that you have on the roster aren't capable of running your system the way you want to run it. You have to run the plays your players can run. And so you need better players on offense. If it's an offensive-minded coach, it's not just about the quarterback, though it's important. You got to get the other pieces around them too.
You got a scheme. You have to have a scheme too. That's why my number one like goal for this offseason, or my number one hope or desire, is that they give Nick Caserio the reins. And it might not even be the best thing for the organization, but
you get your answer.
You need to know. Let Caserio hire the coach. Let Caserio be aligned scheme-wise, philosophy-wise, because Lovie Smith and Nick Caserio, they don't have any beef. They get along. They're both professionals. They get along, but they're not aligned on what they want to do on the football field. Derek Stingley is the biggest example of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I was going to say the one thing too is, you know, you also, when you get a guy that's involved in that kind of a position, you can't worry about if you know how you draft and who you draft. You just have to draft the right players that your team needs. I heard the Wheelhouse talking about this. Well, if you take an offensive player with the first pick of the draft, would you take a second offensive player with
the second quarterback?
You damn right I would in a heartbeat.
If you want a quarterback to be successful in the NFL, you have to build the support system around him. And the Texans, as currently built, do not have the support system to support a young quarterback to have success. Could they build that? They can, but they have to get it right in a lot of different spots. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Blake, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Blake?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
I'm not going to down Nick Caserio. I'm going to take a little bit different turn. I know that's what most callers are doing. So this season been pretty tough. There's only two games that I really wanted the Texans to win, the Cleveland game and the Cowboys game, and of course we dropped the ball on both. So that was the biggest impact. And if we would have won those and picked second overall, I would have been ecstatic. So now, you know, we have to hear four more years of losing to the Cowboys. But as far as a huge win that kind of went under the radar is the boogeyman's gone, you know, Jack Easterby's gone. So I'm not going to bash Nick because we don't know how much Jackie Easterby's influence had in the prior years. So, like you're saying, give him the reins. So now I think, you know, it's a good opportunity to see which direction Nick goes with free agency as coaches and the draft.
Appreciate the call, Blake. And I'm interested with that, too. Like, that's why I want Nick Caserio to have the reins. The Easterby cloud existed. We think the Cal McNair cloud existed whenever the Brian Flores lawsuit hit, and all of a sudden, the six dudes that you interviewed aren't the ones getting the job. It's Lovie Smith, who you interviewed zero times. I interviewed for the Texans head coaching job as much as Lovie Smith did, and Lovie Smith got the job. I don't know why they didn't call me. Give Nick Caserio the reins. Let him fail.
It's not a bad
idea.
Let
him succeed.
No, I mean, I think that it should have been, again, you talk about all the reasons why fans may have jumped off the bandwagon. I mean, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby were not hired by or had, and Nick Caserio had nothing to do with them. And he didn't influence them when they were in their jobs. But suddenly when he took the job, he was still being influenced by both of them. Mm-hmm. He was still being influenced by the missteps of Bill O'Brien. He was still taking a Bill O'Brien at one point guy that was now a backstabbing guy that just did whatever he could to survive. But the guy that ended up getting him the job and had to deal with him and find a place for him and understand what the hell he was all about in this role as well. And that turned everything was turned off. So when you say you could jump off the bandwagon this year, it's a lot easier to stick with this team now, even though they're not winning, as opposed to a year ago when Jack Easterby was still a prevalent discussion point and a what the hell is he all about and why is he still there every time that they looked at everything that was going on. And a year ago, we were dealing with Deshaun Watson. And a year ago, it was the black cloud and it was all the mess and it was all the negativity and everybody making that franchise the laughingstock of the league. At least now, it's just about football.
Yeah, give him the reins. 713-780-3776. Some encouraging news about DeMar Hamlin has just come out. Also, what the NFL is considering with that Bengal-Bills game. Some of these are out there. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.